Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barapapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
My name is Eva Longoria.
And I am Maite Gomez-Rejon.
And welcome to
Hungry for History,
a podcast that explores our past and present through food.
On every episode, we'll talk about the history of some of our favorite dishes, ingredients, and beverages.
So make yourself at home.
Y buen provecho.
On today's episode of Hungry for History, we are celebrating two local Afro-Mexican establishments. One is a food truck in the city of Watts, and the other is a bakery in Compton. We are so excited to share those with you. But before we do that, we've got a very special guest that is joining us.
That's right. I have followed Ebony Bailey's work for a while. She's a filmmaker, a producer, and a documentarian. As a self-described Blaxican, Ebony tells stories with the intention of representing her communities and building spaces of empowerment between diverse populations. Ebony, welcome to the show!
Thank you so much for having me.
I love Blaxican. You know, Maite, if you call yourself, I call myself a Texican.
I love you. Yeah, me too. I started calling myself a Texican when I heard you. I was just calling yourself that. I was like, wait a minute. I am too. I love that.
Ebony, what is a Blaxican? Explain it to me.
A Blaxican, I mean, there are many different ways that people describe themselves as Blaxican, but the way that I describe myself as a Blaxican is that my mom is Mexican American and my dad is African American. And growing up, I didn't really know what to like call myself, if that makes sense, until I was probably 12, 13, like around the age of starting like browsing the internet and stuff. And I found this food truck in Atlanta that was called the Blaxican Food Truck, something like that. And I was like, no. Ah, that's me. So it kind of just stuck. And I think it's like a good, at least for me, and a good identifier of showing like this cross between Blackness, Black American, and Mexicanidad. So yeah, that's why I stick to that identifier.
I love it.
Me too. And me too. So Ebony, tell us about your journey and how you began your work as a filmmaker exploring these cultural intersections and diaspora and social movements.
So I started off more in journalism, print journalism, and then digital journalism. And I kind of fell into photography and videography because I liked the mix between the techie side of playing with colors and playing with composition, but also getting out and going and meeting people and connecting with people and sharing people's stories. And my first kind of intro to the cultural intersection work that I focus heavily on now was doing my first documentary that I did several years ago about Haitian migrants in Tijuana and their experiences at what it's like to be a Black migrant in Tijuana. And I did that because I was reading the newspaper in Mexico. I was living in Ciudad de Mexico at the time. And I just saw a photo on the newspaper of migrants at the border. And I noticed they were all Black. And at the time, I didn't know that many other Black people who were living in Mexico. So I kind of just wanted to go deeper into that. And I did a short documentary about that issue. And from there, I really started connecting with a lot of like the migrant, Afro-diaspora, and also kind of food community in Mexico. It all just kind of blended. So it was really that documentary that helped me like get a lot of these other connections and meet other people and tell other stories. It was like a good launching point for me.
You know, you've discussed before that like being in LA, being Black or Mexican or being Blaxican, you know, you represent two of the most aggrieved groups in Los Angeles. Talk to me about that and the relevance of it today, because there's just this complex history that Black and Latino communities have with Los Angeles. You talk a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big topic because there's so much history with both Black communities and Latinx communities in Los Angeles. And it actually even goes way back to the founding of Los Angeles. Like a lot of people don't know, and I think it's on Alvarez Street somewhere, that most of the people that founded Los Angeles were Afro-Mestizo people. Mm-hmm. Afro-Mestizo Poblanos. And mm-hmm. so kind of this like intersection of Blackness and Mexicanidad and Los Angeles goes way back to then. And just seeing how intertwined the communities have been, like we've always lived in the same neighborhoods, always gone to the same schools, yet there's also been a lot of conflict. There can be anti-Blackness in the Latino side. There can be xenophobia on the Black American side. So a lot of that conflict, I feel like, sometimes overshadows that the two groups have really similar, like you said, grievances and really similar histories, especially in the Los Angeles context with police brutality. Like this mission to reform police brutality has been going on for decades. Even though there has been a lot of progress since Rodney King and all of that, there still is like a lot more to be done and there's still a lot more healing. There's a lot more cross dialogue. And I'm glad that we are having these conversations and we're talking about how in our cultures, how in our foods, there are these intersections and there's always been these intersections.
One of the many things that's so wonderful about food, that it's such a great way in to have these conversations, right? It's an accessible way into these conversations.
I could talk to you. To Ebony forever, because this is so fascinating to me, this intersectionality of cultures and race. But how did that translate into food? What were your memories of as a child cooking with your family?
It's funny because I actually didn't realize how much Afro influence there is in Mexican food until I got older. Until I started researching for my other documentary, Jamaica Tamarindo. And I always grew up drinking agua de Jamaica and eating like the tamarindo candies. And I had no idea that la flor de Jamaica and the tamarind, the food, are originally from the continent of Africa. And tamarind also has a lot of influence in South Asia too. But I didn't know that when I was growing up. And I think now it almost feels like it was like my ancestors talking to me whenever I would drink agua de Jamaica and eat the little tamarindos, kind of showing them subtly that this was also my food and my two sides blending together. And there is like a connection between like agua de Jamaica and red juice in African American communities. They're both from like the hibiscus flower. So I think like growing up and learning that has been like something that's really special for me, and it brings me back to my childhood. And I totally forgot about this, but I loved eating menudo growing up. I'm vegetarian now.
That's your favorite. That's your favorite.
That's my favorite. I grew up eating menudo every Sunday. It was like a family thing. I go to my grandma's house and eat menudo. It's like one of my favorite things. I still really love the texture of tripe, and I try to find that with like mushrooms and things like that are plant-based. But I also learned as I was researching for this documentary and for other things that menudo also has African influence and is like a descendant.
Really?
Yes. It's a descendant of mondongo that is originally from Veracruz. And in Veracruz, they actually still call it mondongo. And you can find it like in other, there are other variations.
You have blown my mind right now.
Fascinating. I had no idea. What differentiates the mondongo from the menudo? Is it the chile?
I think it's the chile. The thing that keeps them similar is that they're both made from like the stomach insides. But I think that the way that they make the chile, like in Jalisco and in Northern Mexico, like the spices and the ingredients.
Of all the stories you've covered as a filmmaker, is there one that has left a mark or hit a chord with you?
I think I would say my film, Jamaica y Tamarindo. It's also a short film, and it was my thesis film for my master's program at UNAM in Mexico City. And that one really struck a chord with me because it kind of brought together all of my loves of food and culture and meeting people and history. And it was a way for me to learn about, as I had mentioned before, the Afro influence in certain ingredients, but it was also a way for me to connect with Afro-Mexican people that live in Mexico. And even though we have like different experiences of growing up on different sides of the border, and they're Afro-Mexican in the sense that their ancestors were enslaved in Mexico, whereas my ancestors were enslaved in the U.S. And my mom is the one who is a mestiza Mexican. So in that sense, we have different backgrounds, but I felt like through doing this documentary and hearing their stories, especially about growing up and about their relationship with food, I just felt this like really strong kinship with them and like sharing this like this connection of like common ancestors that I'll always like take with me after I did that documentary.
It's beautiful. I've seen it. It's a beautiful documentary.
Your work is so important. It's just so important. Like I said, especially right now with the relevance of this topic and the anti-Black sentiment in some Latinx cultures, I think it's an important conversation to have, and you're broadening the mindset of a lot of people. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ebony.
Thank you all for having me.
Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Hungry for History visits the first Afro-Mexican food establishment in Los Angeles. It's been around for almost 30 years, and you don't want to miss it.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barata-papa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back. I visited the city of Watts, California to try some amazing banana leaf tamales, which I have to say were some of the best I've ever had. I interviewed one of the women who helps run Tamales Elena y Antojitos, that was originally started by Elena Lorenzo, an Afro-Latina who immigrated to the U.S. from La Costa Chica, Guerrero, in Mexico. Her daughter, Maria, sat down to chat with us. Take a listen.
I'm here with Maria outside of the truck of Tamales Elena.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Tamales Elena y Antojitos.
Well, originally it's Tamales Elena. That's how we started off, maybe like around 29 years ago. My mom migrated to the United States from Acapulco, Guerrero, and the first day that she got here, there was no like greetment or anything like you would imagine her family would greet her. My mom took, I guess, lessons of how to make tamales from my grandma. My dad got here a little bit after her, and he started selling out of his trunk of his car, and they just became a power duo, you know? Like, he used to be the one that used to go grocery shopping and do all the hard labor, and my mom used to be the one that put the sazon on everything. Mm. Because we all knew that she had it in her. It's like, you were born with it or you're not.
That's
and,
so true.
So she went ahead and did the prepping, and my dad doing the tamales with her. It was just them two. And then we came along. We came to age. They never did ask us to help them. We used to see them work very hard, and we used to get back from school, and we're like, can we help? And that's when we started working. We all started working like at the average of like 12 years old. Everybody started learning how to do tamales. Now we can do them with our eyes closed.
That's the story of the ultimate immigrant
yes.
story.
That's amazing. So do you and your sisters have the saison?
Some of us do. I cannot say for all of them.
How does it feel to be able to do this, to carry the torch that your parents built?
You know what? I've never been ashamed of it. I've always been proud of what my parents did. I've always been conscious of the fact that we are doing something special. That unfortunately here in Watts, there's not a lot of food vendors. We've been here, this spot, this block, for the past 29 years. People have tried and come and put, we're always welcoming other vendors. We want other company here with us. But unfortunately, people don't make it. And for me to be able to say that we have been, you know, alive for that long, it's un orgullo. I talked to my husband about it, and he's like, I can see it every time you talk to me about it. It's like your eyes light up, like, you know, because you guys are able to carry what your parents dream. And somehow it became ours, not forcibly. It grew in us. And we know that food is, whatever there is, pandemic, recession, anything, people want to eat.
And what a better way to just carry this on, yeah. Carry on their story, their legacy, yeah. through food. It's the way to people's hearts, right?
Yeah.
It's the way to, into yeah. other people, other cultures. Talk about your mom's recipes.
Well, my mom has a lot of recipes that she has come up with because it's a fusion. Because my dad is from, they're both from Guerrero. My dad is from Acapulco, and my mom is from La Cosa Chica. But his mom is indigenous, from Mexico, native. So she brings cuisine from la Sierra. My mom meets my dad, and she brings cuisine from La Cosa Chica, which is the majority of them do live off the sea. You know, it's a fishing community, and they have a lot of seafood. But his mom was from the Sierra, so there was a lot of, like, veal, you know, and stuff like that, and carne, meat. And vegetables. That's what his diet was based on. But she got married with my dad, so she had to, you know, come to an agreement, like, how to make his food, you know, with her sazon. So that's where everything else came in. Aguatata la mexicana, which is catfish a la mexicana. We have lengua con plátano macho. We also have el pozole. If you are looking for pozole, you have to go to Guerrero. There's nowhere else. We offer it white, red, green, seafood, el pozole, and all its toppings that you can imagine.
El pozole?
El pozole is a pozole made out of vegetables. Traditionally, it's red, and then all of its toppings. We have queso fresco, cebolla, rábanos, col, tenemos aguacate, tenemos taquitos de queso, tenemos chiles rellenitos, un huevo abajo del pozole. Before you serve the pozole, you crack an egg, you serve the pozole boiling hot, so it cooks in there. And
wow.
It's just a whole bunch of stuff. Sardines as toppings for pozoles. So
wow.
Really, pozole is one of our main, like, the bone and structure of Guerrero. Los tamales de hoja de plátano, of course. Right here we introduce them with shredded meat. But traditionally for us, it's whole pork ribs,
oh, wow.
inside the tamal, or a whole chicken wing inside the tamal. We also have tichinda, which is our mussels, river mussels, inside tamales.
Oh,
we make
wow.
it out of shrimp and a whole bunch of stuff. Other people come and ask us, they're like, what makes this dish Afro-Mexican? I wish I can tell them that it's a secret ingredient, you know, that we can tell them. I explain to them, there is no secret ingredient. What makes it Afro-Mexican is the cook.
Mm.
It's us. It's the culture behind it, the people mm-hmm. who makes it, where we come from.
After the break, Maite tries some pan dulce from an Afro-Mexican bakery in Compton, California. Don't go anywhere.
Me.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Barata-papa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome back to Hungry for History. I had a chance to check out an Afro-Latino bakery in Compton, California that runs out of a garage, serving some of the most delicious pan dulce I have ever tried in Los Angeles. Pan Estilo Copala is run by Aniceto Cheto Polanco and his wife, Norberta.
I just arrived to Pan Estilo Copala in Compton. And this is a sight. It's amazing. You walk in, it's in somebody's garage. There's a whole line of Acapulco chairs of every single different color for adults and for children as you walk in along a white wall. And then you walk into the garage, and first of all, the smell is intoxicating. It's just smells like yeast and sugar and butter, and it's just unbelievable. So many different types of breads that I've never actually seen before. They look incredible, very artisanal. I just had the most amazing experience. Well, I shared that my grandmother was a baker, and they were like, oh, wait a minute, let me see if you have her skills. Put an apron on me, put a net on my head, and had me roll little balls of dough, of conchas.
Para adentro. Mira, así. Y lo aprietas así, y ya lo haces con tus dedos para adentro, así. Tienes un, no creo que es fácil, ¿eh?
Para nada, tienes un chiste.
No, así no. Así.
And of course I did not do such a great job, and they were making fun of me.
Se me hace que ya me quedo bien.
Ahí quedo.
A verla.
Ahí quedo.
Sí, ya.
Ahí está.
¿Ya?
¡Ya! ¡Aplausos!
Yo pensé que fallaba.
I felt like I was home. I felt like I was family. And really, they're so welcoming, and the breads are so delicious and so unique, different than any pan dulce I've ever had. And I've had a lot of pan dulce in my life. And they were sharing that they get all of the ingredients from Mexico. They go to Tijuana.
Vamos a México a comprar las cosas. A Tijuana.
Ah, ¿en serio? They get the Mexican vanilla.
Agarramos allá como el color, la vainilla.
Okay. They get the fresh yeast.
La levadura.
Everything is fresh. They use no preservatives, and they say that their secret ingredient is love, which you could totally taste. It's a wonderful atmosphere. The breads are amazing.
Está delicioso. Es que está suavecito, así como esponjoso. Pero no está tan dulce, y eso que tiene picantillo no está tan dulce.
I feel so lucky that I'm here this morning. Amazing. So Norberta, Chento's wife, is the one that started baking when she was a child, and all of the recipes are her grandmother's recipes. They're recipes that she grew up with,
and people from the neighborhood that are from Guerrero that may not have been back, moved to the U.S. and maybe haven't been able to go back to Guerrero.
Mucha gente ha emigrado a este país por décadas y no ha podido viajar a su pueblo.
They taste this and it transports them to home.
Entonces todos estamos ansiosos de lo nuestro. O sea, tú quieres lo nuestro, lo tuyo, con lo que te creaste, tus sabores, tu comida, hasta todo lo deseas. Y hay mucha necesidad de lo nuestro.
These are all breads that you could find in La Costa Chica in Guerrero. So they're all flavors from that region. And it's very unique. They're very unique, different than anything I've ever had. Everything is much more rustic. You could see that it's an artisanal bakery. There's no, this is all, you know, made from scratch. This is a family affair in their backyard, Norberta and Don Chento's garage in their backyard. And in the bakery, in the back is or him and his wife and their son. And then a couple of friends who have been working with them since 2016 is when they started this bakery. But she started many years before just making bread from a little KitchenAid blender that she's had for 30 years in that same kitchen.
No hice rápido, o sea, pues no tenía, ya que aquí llega sin nada y todo. Y compramos un horno y ahí empecé a sacar.
El pan que hacía de niña,
sí,
o sea, de joven.
Sí,
sí.
Es este.
Ajá.
Y en esa maquinita que tiene con nosotros como 30 años tiene esa maquinita.
So she had a full-time job and then she would come home and make breads, call her friends, and that's how it started.
Como en tiempo libre yo hacía pan en esa maquinita.
Y lo hacía pan para vender en esa maquinita.
Sí.
It's all five people that are making all of these breads, friends and family. They were so welcoming. They busted out the coffee maker, wouldn't let us leave without drinking some coffee and tasting all of the bread.
Mmm, delicioso. Mmm, gracias. Buenísimo.
Really, I've never felt more at home in a bakery in my life.
Muchísimas gracias. Qué honor. Ya quiero, me quiero quedar aquí.
Bueno, ya está.
Para adentro.
Órale,
para adentro. Sí, me faltan los ojos.
Thank you so much for listening to this very special and relevant episode. You know, Maite and I wanted to do this podcast to really fully explore our culture. And this is a side of it that I think we don't talk enough about. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Hungry for History is an Unbelievable Entertainment production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network.
For more of your favorite shows, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens. But trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hay dos cosas que son absolutamente ciertas. Abuelita te ama y nunca diría que no a McDonald's. Date un gusto con un Grandma McFlurry en tu orden hoy. Es lo que abuela quisiera. Baratapapa. En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.